First scripture I want to go to is John chapter 13. And I want to look at verse 20. Now I'm going to get into the three churches in just a few minutes. Get into the church that God recognizes, and that's the one we need to belong to. But anyway, John chapter 13, verse 20. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Now, you know, there might be a lot of questions here about what Christ is saying. Now, you and I are a bunch of Gentiles. Is that not right?
Amen.
You know, we're a bunch of Gentiles. And we're saved by the grace of God, plus nothing, minus nothing. I, for one, am a grace believer. I believe that Jesus died for all my sins, and I don't merit one thing of what he gave me. I didn't earn it, did you?
No,
you didn't earn it. Not one thing did I earn to be saved and be able to walk in the grace of God. It's not by works, and I don't have anything to boast about. And what Jesus, I believe, is referring to here in this one verse is the fact that he sent us an apostle. And if he sent me an apostle, then he wants me to believe the word that he gave that apostle. Now, if I receive the apostle Paul as my apostle, then I have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only have I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I have received the Father. Not only have I received the Father, but I've also received the Holy Ghost. Ain't that right? And I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. I'm talking about I've got a seal on me. Just as sure as Abraham wore the seal of circumcision, I'm wearing the seal of the Holy Ghost. I'm marked, glory to God. I'm marked through all eternity. How about you?
Amen.
I got a mark on me. I got a seal on me. In other words, I'm branded, and I like being branded for God. I'm talking about got a brand on me. And it's an eternal brand that'll always be there. And hell itself can't shake it loose.
Amen.
You think about it. Ain't that right, brother? I'm talking about nothing can shake it loose. It's there too old. You know, some folks might have a problem with eternal security. Well, now, if they look at eternal security from a dispensational point of view, they won't have any problem with it. You know, this is the whole confusion right here about this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now, if I rightly divide the gospel, now what I mean by rightly dividing the gospel is to just separate Paul's gospel from any other gospel. You know, that's what rightly dividing the word of truth is. Then when you separate the gospel that Paul received from the resurrected Lord of how he died for mankind's sins, and how he commissioned Paul to preach that mystery to a lost and dying world, you know, called the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, then God gave him, Jesus gave God the legal right to save us, folks. Now think about it. Ain't that right? Amen. You know, folks talk about trying to follow Christ in his earthly ministry. You know, here, you know, folks don't understand there's another ministry. Isn't there another ministry? What is the other ministry? It's his heavenly ministry.
Amen.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
Got a heavenly ministry. Well, we're to follow Christ in his heavenly ministry, not in his earthly ministry. You see? And now I'm going to get into three churches in a minute. I may do it before 7:30. I'm going to get into three churches now. I'm going to do it at quiet. But I'm going to tell you, this thing of the gospel of Christ is, as Paul went into Romans chapter 1, you can read it, about the gospel of Christ, how it is the power of God unto salvation. And he says also, when he moves on a little bit further on down, he says it also the righteousness of God is revealed. Talking about a righteousness that can be applied to a sinner. You know, and it's based on the faith of Christ. You know, I had a lot of translations of the Bible, you know. You know, I had a lot of them. Well, let's see, if you name them, I had NIV. I had that new something other. I had it. I had that other something other. I had it. But when all was said and done, I had about five or six of them. But you know what I done? I got me a garbage bag. And I put them all in that garbage bag. Because I didn't want nobody else to get a hold of it.
Amen.
Put it in that garbage bag. And tied that thing. And throw it in the hobo. Then I took all my Southern Baptist commentaries and I done the same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Put them all in one bag, Brother Percy. Throw them in the hobo. And they're laying somewhere in the landfill tonight, every day. Son had my dad get it, but it's on its way.
It's on its way.
You know? And another thing that burns in my spirit is when I begin to understand the word of truth. I'm talking about rightly divided. When I begin to understand, it begins to burn in my spirit. I begin to understand who my apostle is. And I begin to understand whose message I am to believe. Folks talk about they want to know the will of God. If you want to know the will of God, then you need to understand who your apostle is. That's the will of God. He wants you to understand that Paul's got the message for you. Peter ain't got nothing for you, honey. We're going to get into the three churches in just a minute. You got the church in the wilderness, which is Acts chapter 7 and verse 38. You've got the church then in Mark, I believe it's in Matthew 16, right, brother? Over there in Matthew 16. Then you've got the church over there in Colossians. You've got the church over there in Ephesians. And here's what a man better settle in his spirit. Here's what a woman better settle in their spirit. They better understand what church to belong to. Ain't that right? Bless God. Bless his name. Now, over here, I'm going to the board now. Now, first thing I want to write over here is the church in the wilderness. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. If you want to turn over there. Then over here, I want to put the kingdom church. That's over here Matthew chapter 16. Let's get the verse. Yes. 15 through 18. And I'm going to wrap the body of Christ over here on this side in just a minute. All right? Now go over here to Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts 7, brother. We got Stephen doing some talking here. And he's talking about the church in the wilderness. Well, let's just begin with verse 37 and read through 38. he says, this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren likened unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Now we're talking about when God sent Moses into Egypt and he brought those Israelites, those Jews out of Egypt, and there they were at Mount Sinai, and God give Moses the law. In other words, just like Moses dispensed the law, then Paul dispensed grace. Is that not right? He dispensed grace. Now, so over here, the church in the wilderness had a spokesman.
Amen.
Didn't you have a spokesman?
Yes.
All right. Who was the spokesman?
Moses.
All right. Moses. All right. What was their doctrine? Who?
Law.
All right, we got the law. All right. Whose authority were they under? Moses. Were they under Moses' authority?
Yes.
All right. So they had to listen to Moses, didn't they?
Yep.
In other words, if they didn't listen to Moses, then the penalty was very severe, wasn't it not?
Yes.
All right. So, let's move over here now to Matthew 16. Just a minute. You know, there's more confusion here than you've ever seen about over these churches. Matthew 16, I'll get there in a minute. Look at verse 15. Let's start with verse 15. And Jesus asked him a question, Peter a question. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're talking about Peter's testimony here. let me ask you something. What is your testimony? If you ask John Doe what his testimony is, if John Doe looked at you, Percy, let's say you asked him, you would say, John, would you mind telling me what your testimony is? He said, well, Brother Percy said, I walked the aisle and I got down to the old fashioned altar and I confessed my sins and I went through water baptism. But y'all hear me? Y'all hear me okay? I went through water baptism, and then I'm trying to keep 10 commandments. I'm trying to do the best I can. What do you think about him? I tell him he needs to get saved too, wouldn't you, brother? Wouldn't you, brother? Absolutely, I tell him to get saved. Then you looked over here at Mr. B. Are y'all hearing me? Let me get it out of you where you can hear me. Some of y'all better hear this. And then you look at Mr. B and say, Mr. B, would you mind telling me your testimony about how you got saved? He said, well, I'm trusting Christ to be my personal Savior. He died for all my sins, and he was raised the third day for my justification, and I'm doing nothing but trusting him to save my wretched soul because I know I'm no good. Now, you talking, folks, listen. Do you know that commitment has been put on the back burner about how I am to be saved or what I'm to do. I'm to commit my salvation into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless God, and leave it there.
Praise God.
Don't try to do nothing else. Just leave it there. This business of confessing sins and going to the old-fashioned altar and rededicating all this stuff, bless God, there's no blood involved in it.
Amen.
There's no blood involved in it. None whatsoever. Without the shedding of blood, as far as the dispensation of grace is concerned, there is no forgiveness. None whatsoever. You know what? God's got a bunch of folks charged with unbelief. You know? Don't even know what church belongs to, bro. I was just asking you. Then the Holy Ghost unraveled me. He let me understand something, brother. Now, over here in this kingdom church, now, I want you to understand something. Now, I'm not an artist, but I'm going to draw a crown. All right? This right here is supposed to be a crown. Byron, that look like a crown.
That's a crown.
And under this crown, you know, right here, we've got a man. Put some eyes on him right here. Put some lips on him. Give him an ear right here. That's a man. Now, what Jesus is doing over here, and folks need to understand this, brother. What Jesus is doing over here in this kingdom church, he's going to establish an earthly kingdom over here. He's going to establish an earthly kingdom. He's wanting to fulfill prophecy. What is the prophecy? What it is, he's going to David's throne. And when he gets on David's throne, the Gentiles are to be saved through the rise of Israel.
That's right.
That's how they'll be saved, through the rise of Israel. So this is what he's doing. This is the whole thing he's got in mind over here. Right there. But this is the purpose. He says, upon this rock I build my church, a kingdom church. You know? And I'm going to tell you something. There's an awful doctrine that goes around in all these different churches, denomination churches. And they talk about that the body of Christ is a continuing right on to the Pentecostal church. No, it's not. That's hatched out of hell.
Amen.
That's where that's at. Now, over here on this kingdom church, can some of y'all tell me who the spokesman is?
Peter.
What?
Peter.
Who?
Peter.
Who'd you say?
Peter.
Who?
Peter.
Peter!
There
you go.
I'm okay.
All right, we got a spokesman over here. All right.
Didn't hear that.
Peter! Help me out, that's right. Do it again, Chuck. His name is Peter. Is that not right? Now, what kind of doctrine did Peter know?
Kingdom.
Kingdom doctrine. All right. So over here, Peter is the spokesman. Now, some of y'all hit me out names of these churches. You know, there's more names of this kingdom church than one.
One.
Is it not called the one. Jerusalem church?
Huh? Yeah.
All right, the Jerusalem church. What else is it called? What kind of church was John the Baptist building, person?
Church.
What kind of church was John the Baptist building?
Baptist built a kingdom church in the Bible, more baptism than Israel.
Baptist church. All right. We got the Jerusalem church, made up of Jews, looking for the kingdom. We got the Pentecostal church. That's been a Pentecostal. All right, that's good enough. I got it down right there. Pentecostal church. I guess it's John Newtown. All right, we got the Pentecostal church here. What else we got now?
Church of God.
Church? Church of God. All right. Now John the Baptist, he built a Baptist church.
Catholic church.
All right. What was their doctrine to this church, this kingdom church? What was their doctrine? Water baptism. Their doctrine was water baptism. What else was it?
Sell out.
Confession and repentance of sin. All right. Repentance of sin.
Endure to the end.
How about keep the commandments and circumcision? You got the commandments here. I'm just going to put a C and a no and an M and a dot. Ain't that good enough, person? All right. What else you got now? Circumcision. All right. I'm just going to repeat circumcision. What else you got?
Tithes.
You got tithes? I don't know where I've got enough board or not, y'all. You got tithes? What else you got?
Sell all that you have.
What?
Sell all that you have.
Right. So we've come down here to circumcision. You got tithing. And also you got all those feast periods.
Yeah.
You got all those feast periods. Has anybody here get choked?
Feast.
On this doctrine. Now if you get choked, bless God, get over it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get over it. Might want to go back there and get a bottle of water, put your feet there. Don't get choked now. Jamie, would you go get us a bottle of aspirin? might need a little sedative, something, you'll eat or something,
Yeah, I got some in the first.
Okay.
You get the one. What's one?
Folks, listen. What I'm getting at, I'm trying to get at the truth of this present dispensation. There's only one baptism for this dispensation. For by one spirit am I baptized into one body.
No.
Bless God, Brother Glenn, that kind of has some sense, ain't it?
I didn't do that one.
I know Dr. Hoodoo won't like that, but so be it. So be it. I don't want that. I know the message that the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. I'm well familiar with the Holy Ghost taught me. He let me understand it. See, this word right here is Holy Ghost written. He wrote the book. And he has inspired this book. And he can teach you this book. You know what the problem is? Glory to God. Most folks would rather have tradition, bless God, and know the truth. Amen. Amen. They're trying to hang on to something, bless God, going to sink them in hell is what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. I'm going to hang on to Christ plus nothing minus the done committed everything I got to. Glory to God. And I'm too far gone to stop now.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You, you know, You got all these feast periods over here. You got all these Sabbath days over here. You got all that that's involved with this right here. Then when you get over here, see, they're looking to the kingdom. Oh, do you know what is pure ridiculous?
That's a big one.
I'm talking about more than ridiculous. His folks are trying to be baptized with John's baptism and then with Gentile, Percy. Now that, I'm going to tell you, you might as well say this, thank you, Daddy. It's pure ridiculous. You know? Let me tell you something. Did you know what? You're not going to be judged for what you don't understand. You're going to be judged for what you don't believe.
Amen.
I'm going to be judged, brother, for what I don't believe. But there's one thing about it. I want to know the truth. If his hair lift, bless God, his hair lift. You know. And most of the time it will. You know. Somebody starts throwing songbooks at me, bless God, I'm going to throw one back. Stephen, I done told about Stephen's a better man than me, Percy. He's been about him. He's a better man than I am. And you?
Absolutely.
A whole lot better man than old, you know. Praise God. Let me tell you something. We're going to get into the church in just a minute that God recognizes and the one that the Lord's going to draw to him. You talking about the one he's gonna draw to him. Now, when we get over here, who wants to turn to Colossians? Who wants to turn to Colossians? Do a little reading for me. Where I want you to go to is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we fixed to put the church on the board now, brother. We fixed to put the true church on the board. And a person's where a person is going to spend eternity at is going to depend on what church they belong to. Now, first of all, all this is an air-conditioned building that's nice to meet in and teach and preach the word of truth right in the Bible. But as far as the church is concerned, we are the church.
Amen. That's right.
Paul said that the Godhead lived in Christ bodily. Is that not right? Now, If the Holy Ghost lives in me, and the Holy Ghost lives in you, and if by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if Christ lives in you, then the Godhead is living in you.
Absolutely.
Now, so when we get over here to the church, and what Paul's talking about right here in Colossians, look at verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Get a hold of this. He says, and he is the head of the body, the what?
Church.
The church. What church is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to draw to him when he comes into the air right there? The body of Christ. Do you think he's going to send his body through the tribulation period when he's going to make this world real and rock?
No way.
No way. No way. So over here, we got the body of Christ, the true church. Well, do I become a member of the body of Christ by confessing my sins?
No.
Do I become a member of the body of Christ by going through water baptism?
No.
That makes me want to say something y'all don't want to hear. You know what I mean? How do I become a member of the one body?
Trust.
Right over here, folks. Right over here.
Cross. A lot of cross.
I look at the cross. Hallelujah. If I might say that, glory to God. Look, I look at the cross. I look at the cross, and when I see the cross, I see Jesus identifying himself with old Lynn. Don't you see him identifying himself with you, Brother Jerry?
Amen.
Go back, Glenn. He became Jerry Lockhart. He became Lynn Sasser. He became Byron Wiggins. He identified himself with us. God delivered him up. Did you know that God delivered him up to die for your sins? Mm-hmm. He delivered him up to die for my sins. That's what he did. Not only that, God made him to be what? Sin. Boy, this is a choke religion now. Boy, this is just... just choke them on down. You know? And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. A lot of people don't understand this. Glory to God. I ain't worried about my sinful nature. Are you? I ain't worried about that. You know what? Christ took care of it on Calvary. And I'm going to tell you something else. Folks might as well do it as think it. Ain't no difference. Not in the eyes of the Lord. But thank God, Paul said, I do those things I don't want to do. Ain't that what he said? Romans chapter 7. He says, I do those things I don't want to do. And he said, but I consent to one thing. He said, I know what the problem is. He says, it's the sin within me. But he says, I thank God because Jesus took care of it on the cross of Calvary for me. You think about it. You know, over here. Did you know what? He was crucified. And this is the gospel. Where did I find the gospel of my salvation at? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where I find it.
Amen.
You know what? We know what Paul told those Ephesians over there? He said, when you heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, he said, you are a no good Gentile, no regard to God, hated God, didn't bless the seed of Abraham, would have killed a Jew just as sure as you looked at him. But he says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. I'm going to put a mystery on you. I'm going to tell you a mystery. He said, did you know that while Jesus was dying on that cross, he was dying for you? Said he was dying for you when he was hanging on the cross, bleeding and suffering and dying for him. Boy, that Ephesians was the greatest letter he ever penned. You think about it. It was the best letter he ever penned when it come to the gospel, the grace of God to a Gentile who didn't deserve nothing. Who hated Israel, who hated God, who was worshiping Diana over there, thinking Diana was the creator of this vast universe. And here Jesus was dying for him. And when Paul told him, he said, I'm going over there to talk to them Gentiles. Over way over yonder. For hence. Sonny clamped the cuffs on him, didn't they? They put the chains on him. Then he was in prison. And he was writing a letter to him. And he said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm going to show you something over there. Said, you're going to be put into the same body that the early people were. All those folks who was under the covenant of promise. that Paul went to in his earthly ministry.
Amen.
And he was forming that one body. He says, I'm going to put you in that one body. He says, I'm going to cut everything loose. And I'm going to put you into that one body. I ain't going to give you no laws. I ain't going to give you no ordinance. I ain't going to give you no nothing. But I'm going to put you in that one body. I'm going to preach to you the grace of God. And he wrote him a letter. Think about it. Here they were to be members of the one body.
Yeah.
You know what?
This one.
When Paul went to all those people over there that was under the covenant of promise, the remnant of grace. He was going after a remnant. You know what he did? Going after a remnant. And when he had reached the last remnant, where would the world be in? And put the last remnant into the one body, the church, the true church, the body of Christ. And he had took that church out of here.
Amen.
Where would the rest of the world be in, folks?
Hmm.
Think about it.
Amen.
Where would the world be? You know, but he didn't do it. He had a mystery. He had a mystery that he was going to fulfill. He said, now, you know, Paul went into the third heaven. You know, he seen something in that third heaven he couldn't talk about. Well, he learned over there in Corinthians. He had something over there he couldn't talk about. It's my time about it. What time is it?
I don't know.
He had a mystery he couldn't talk about over there. He said, I've seen some things I can't tell, I can't describe. And then when he got in prison, he says, I may be bound. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
The word of God is not bound.
But the word of God's not bound. And he pinned down that letter. He pinned down that letter. He said, you who was dead in your sins and your trespasses, in time then you was without hope, without God in this world. But now you've got some hope. Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
Now you've got hope. He died for your sins. Man, can you imagine that? That's the reason I love the grace of God. That's the reason I love it. Now, when you get over here, the doctrine of the body of Christ is the fact that Jesus died for our sins. I want y'all to look at this board just a minute. I think put a diagram on this board. Over here. And this right here concerns the body of Christ. And this is what totally irks God. Go into Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. This, brother, this right here is where folks are charged with unbelief when they try to get onto an altar. And they start trying to confess their sins. Look what he said right here. He says, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all what?
Trespasses.
Every one of them. Now, over here is a cross. Let's put the cross back on the board. Right here. All right? And let's say this right here represents everything that was written against you. Everything right here. Every sin that you committed Hey, are you aware of one thing? Did you know that Jesus died for your sins before you were ever born?
Amen.
Yes. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. Because it's so. Every sin right here, I was born right here, I died right here. In every one of my sins, and God foreseen them all. He foreseen every one of them. And what he did, he took them one by one and placed them on his son. He charged his son with every one of my sins, every sin that you commit. Every raw thought, every sinful thought that you would ever think was placed to Jesus' account. Every one of them was placed to his account. And he died a sinner. He identified himself with us. I threw a New Testament away the other day. Some folks had put out. And the reason why I throwed it away is because I ain't finished it. I'm going to get back to it. I want you to go into Romans. Romans chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 11. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That New Testament I throwed away took the word atonement out and put the word reconcile. That's a difference. See, I understand what atonement is. Do you understand what atonement is? Atonement is the fact that my sins are gone. I have no sins. Anybody this down there trying to confess their sins is called God a liar.
That's right.
I hope they heard that sent to the person. You know, they have called God a liar. Jesus told the Apostle Paul, he said, them folks I died for, I took their sins away. They're gone. Every one of your sins, my sins, was placed to his account. And I'm going to tell you something else. Did you know what? God ain't going to charge me with what I'm going to think tomorrow. He's already charged it to his son.
Amen.
And his son died for him. Then, when he died, he was buried in the tomb. And do you know what God done before he raised him from the dead? He said, I'm going in the heart of the dead. He said, I'm going to be there 3 days and three nights. 72 hours. You know, I'm going to be there 3 days, three nights. His body lay dead in this tomb. He was dead. Right here in his tomb. He lay there. And what God did, God circumcised him. You know, he circumcised him. He cut all those sins away from him. And when he raised him from the dead, he was the firstborn from the dead. He come out of that grave born again. Amen. He was the firstborn of many brothers. What? He was the first one to be born again. And I'm not born again yet. I'm about to say, well, brother, you come on up here. Confess your sins that you have been born again. Bull, you know what? Huh? How many folks ain't gonna put in hell, Brother Percy? Folks, listen. I want to tell you something now. Listen. I'm walking around in a vile body. You're walking around in a vile body. And this old body is a bunch of flesh. You can't do nothing in this body to please God. That includes confessing your sins. That includes going through water baptism. That includes any kind of religious ritual. You can't please God.
Amen.
Yeah. Brother Larry, I'm just crazy enough to tell you. I'm too old to quit now. You know? Listen, I done got old enough to draw Social Security. Maybe there'll be a little left. Do you know what? He cut him loose from all those sins that he had him charged with. The only reason why he was raised from the dead by the Holy Ghost, well, in fact, he was God, he raised his own self, but yet the Father, the Holy Ghost, they was all there together. Like Gilbert said, the only reason why he raised him to death, bless God, he became holy again. He regenerated him. Titus chapter 3 says that he was regenerated and was renewed with the Holy Ghost. You know? I'm talking about it. So he come out. He come out of the grave. Let me tell y'all something. If I was born again, bless God, I'd be in the third heaven. I'd have that body, bless God, I can move faster than the wind. I can move faster than the speed of light. But as it is, I'm a saved sinner. Somebody, I'm not a sinner. Well, you just lied. You know? But I'm not worried about my sins. Why? They're taken care of. This is what folks got to understand. Do you know somebody trying to confess their sins and going through all this time stuff, the kingdom, they've not committed their salvation to the Lord.
That's right.
They haven't committed their salvation to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you got folks dying. I wish some of y'all had heard Bill's testimony. Mind you, Bill King now. I wish y'all had heard his testimony about how he couldn't do that, you know. How he couldn't do this. He said, I've tried everything. And he said, Lord, I just can't do it. And he said, I'm just committed to you. And he said, about that time when he done that, peace of God fell over his soul. Amen. You know, that's the whole thing. You got folks having the invitation on him, walking up. You want to rededicate your life?
Yeah.
All this kind of I ain't gonna describe it right now. But it needs to be, bless God. Sometimes.
Consider it but dumb.
That's it. Yeah. Good description. This goes back now, folks. I'm telling you. You need to have some sense if you don't understand this. You are gonna be in trouble with God if you're trying that.
You're not me.
Mm-hmm. Why? What did he do at Calvary? Took care of everything. Took care of the sin problem. Listen, the sin problem was taken care of at Calvary. Christ did everything that was necessary to save me.
That's right.
I'm getting tired. But you know what? This kingdom church over here. And how I become a member of the kingdom church. I mean, the body of Christ. Not the kingdom church. Nope. The body of Christ over here is I just trust Christ to be my personal Savior. Ain't that right?
That's right.
Now, who is the spokesman for the kingdom, for the body of Christ? Not the kingdom church.
Paul.
All right. What is the doctrine of the kingdom of the body of Christ?
Gospel
of Christ? The gospel of Christ.
Close your eyes.
Now understand something. Let me write this down in the gospel of Christ for this body. You've got the power of God unto salvation. All right. Then you've got the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Is that not right?
Amen.
Now, in your Bible study, this is why you don't need nothing but King James. You have to watch the prepositions. You got of and you got in. Now Jesus went to the cross, believing that God was going to raise him from the dead. See, before the foundation of the world, according to Titus, the Father told the Son, he made the Son a promise. If he died for the sins of the world, then he'd raise him from the dead. So that's the reason why I'm saved. I am saved because of the faith of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
That's why I'm saved. Now, so the Son went to the cross. He circumcised him, cut all those sins away from him. He raised him from the dead. He'd come out of the tomb, born again, firstborn among many brethren. And he spent 40 days and 40 nights on this earth. Now, I'm gonna leave that body of Christ right here. And right here, when you trust Christ to be your personal Savior, and you know what God does? He charges to your account his righteousness.
Amen.
You are righteous. And not only that, he puts you in his Son. See, being a member of the body of Christ, the one church, like I said, there's only one baptism for it, and it's sure not water. Water can't save you. You know. Most of the time, if I get a fella mad over water baptism, I'm just crazy to make it matter. If somebody thinks water can save them, what they need to is fill a bathtub full of water, get them a straw, and get in it. Go ahead, come out there and look like a prune. Somebody said, well, please, no, it ain't. Don't give me that garbage. I done been there. That ain't for this dispensation. We have one baptism for this dispensation. For by one spirit am I baptized into one body. It's a spiritual baptism. You got the cross here. You got Adam over here. You see? In Adam we're all sinners. Ain't that right? You got Christ over here. This is beginning to come the member of the one body of the church you better belong to. You become a member of the body of Christ by trusting the gospel of your salvation. You better understand what church you need to belong to. What church you're going to belong to is going to depend where you spend eternity at, whether it's in the lake of fire or whether it's in heaven. You better understand it. It won't do to be a dummy now. You better understand it. And what happens when you trust Christ and you understand that through the Holy Ghost and you understand what the preaching of the cross is all about, of how he died for your sins and was raised the third day for your justification, and the Holy Ghost lets you understand it and see he was identifying himself with you, you know what's going to happen? Holy Ghost going to take you out of Adam. And where is he going to put you?
In Christ.
He's going to put you in Christ. Those who have been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. You know, you got a lot of folks that's concerned when they get over there in Matthew when Jesus talks about over there blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that has questions about that. About blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. They'll read that over in Matthew, over there in Matthew. They'll come concerned, and the reason why they become concerned is the fact they don't know how to look at the Bible from a dispensational point of view. Now, folks, I'm going to tell y'all something, and I done been there, and I got a master's degree from a Baptist seminary, and they never taught dispensationalism. They never taught to understand the Word of God from a dispensational point of view. Let me tell you something. When you rightly divide the word of truth, the Bible automatically falls into the different dispensations. Apparently y'all ain't bored. You know, that's the whole thing. Understanding, when you understand your apostle and you read his message, and you get over there and you start comparing scripture with scripture, you're going to find out there might be some of it's a little different. You might find out, bless God, it's like trying to cram a square peg in a round hole. You know what? It won't fit. Won't fit. You know. Won't fit. I'm going to tell you something else. I know who died for my sins. And I know who was raised from the dead the third day for my justification. Did you get back to this one subject about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost? Did you know what Paul said over there in 1 Timothy?
He was a blasphemer.
He said, I was a blasphemer. But he said, you look at time past. Alright? You look at the butt now. And you look at the ages to come. Alright? Is not that scripture?
Yep.
When Jesus was talking about in time past, oh, by the way, now Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is nothing but an extension of the Old Testament. That's all it is. Somebody said, well, the New Testament began in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
It didn't do it. Mm-hmm. No, sir, it didn't do it. When Jesus was talking about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, he said he wouldn't be forgiven in time past. Talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, time past. Now, how do I know time past? Because of the fact of what Paul said over there in Ephesians chapter 4. 2. Now, when you get over here, what didn't Jesus say over there? I believe he said, man, where's that at over there? Did he say over there, he said, even in the ages to come?
Yep.
He mentioned ages to come, didn't he? So we got time past, and we got ages to come. Talking about what? The kingdom. Draw a crown right there. That's a crown. Make it look like one. That's what it is. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about you can't get... A person cannot get forgiven here for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and he can't get forgiveness over here in ages to come. Then over here in the book, now you have to look at that from a dispensational point of view. What is a dispensation? It's the mold in which God is dealing. Ain't that right? It's the mold in which he is dealing. Now, a dispensation is the mode in which God's dealing. In fact, of the minute, a dispensation, time might cover a dispensation, but a dispensation don't cover time. See what I'm saying? All right? When if you compare the ages to the dispensations, you're going to see some of them overlap. And you can't confuse the grace that God gave Noah with the dispensation of grace that he gave to Paul.
No way.
You can't confuse that. You just can't do it. You see, when you get over here, and you get over here in this period of the tribulation period, when God's going to judge this world, when he's going to judge his enemies, when right now he's offering his enemies grace and reconciliation on the merits of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, when he don't count. When you look at that, and then when you look at the period of wrath that Paul, God's going to grant grace to those who work for him. But in the dispensation of grace, we don't get grace by works. It's by grace plus nothing minus nothing. That's what it is. That's just the way it is. Listen, folks, I didn't work for my salvation, nor did you. It was freely given. This is what salvation is all about, and what we want all folks to understand. This salvation is free. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross. Now, so when you talk about blaspheming against, there's no such thing as blaspheming against the Holy Ghost in this present dispensation. Paul said, I was a blasphemer, and I did it in ignorance. Ain't you glad you received the atonement? Ain't you glad your sins are gone? What do you have to confess? Think about it. None. I ain't going to frustrate the grace of God by trying to do that. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Now, I'm going to wind down. It's 7 o'clock. I don't know. I'm going to give out. 1. Look at chapter 1, 1 Timothy, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? Forgiven. He says, who was before a blasphemer? A persecutor. And injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelievingly. You know what, Paul? Paul didn't know Jesus in his earthly ministry, did he? I want to follow Jesus. You ready, y'all? Are you a disciple or an ambassador? Ambassador. What is a disciple? Jesus had earthly disciples. He taught them the elementary parts of the kingdom. What is the keys of the kingdom? What was the keys he'd give Peter? What about this? They couldn't get into the kingdom without that, could you, Brother Jim? That was the keys. Then he'd give them power to endure through the tribulation. You know, you got folks trying to claim those things that God give his for. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, folks, is not the program for the body of Christ. You get out here and look at that way, you don't understand me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts is not the program for the body of Christ. You want to know your information for the program for the body of Christ? Read what Paul's got to say. He got all the information we need for this present dispensation. That's just the way it is. Now, closing, right over here, the body of Christ, there's only one church that God recognizes. You better understand it. If you don't, you better pray, Holy Ghost, let me understand this. There's only one church that God recognizes, and there's only one, and that's the body of Christ, and that is the church that he's going to take out off this earth. That is the church that he's going to deliver from this present evil world.
Yeah.
Amen. Yep. That's it. Let me tell you again how to become a member of the right church. Help me out. Trust Christ to be your personal Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing. Commit your salvation into His hands and leave it there. And leave it there. Commit it to Him. Don't try nothing. Don't try to do nothing. You ain't got to make one move. You ain't got to do one thing but simply trust Him.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm done, folks.